There you are, Cliff and Livendall. Still sounds good. And on the line now I have Patrick Finnegan with those stories from the North County Leader. How are you, Patrick?
How are you, Noel? How are you?
Not too bad. Well, 3 weeks into the new year now. Nothing strange at all?
Nothing really. It's just, I say, it was like coming back to school in some ways. So it was a great long school break, really.
It certainly was, yeah. And the weather's not too bad, I suppose.
Not too bad today, no. I think this bad weather they were talking about, it never really materialised, so... let's keep our fingers crossed on that. Yeah.
And apart from what we have today, is anything else exciting happening out? I hear a lot of talk about all around the Swords area and further out. I mean, we've talked about it over the many years where a lot of politicians seem to use it as fodder when they're having arguments on the housing and the growth of the Fingal area and stuff like that. I've heard it mentioned so many times over the past 2 weeks.
Well, there are, and the big thing now that's going on at the moment is the transport options for the Swords area. We're talking about the resurrection of Metro North, if you like, and we spoke before about the BRT, which is the bus rapid transit system, or the bendy bus, as they call it. So there's six options at the moment for the Swords area, connecting Swords, the airport, and into town. So a decision will be made in May, I think, on that. So the final date for submissions was last week. So it's that's all to play for now at the moment. So that'll be a very, very hot issue in the area.
Yeah, but I mean, I was talking to a councillor last week about it, and I was just saying, like, it's just regurgitating old stuff, really, again. It's just going over the same old ground, the same old, same old. And I think people are sort of sick of the rhetoric at this stage.
Well, what's happening is that it has been promised by successive governments over the last up to 10 years about a rail system coming into Swords. So it'll be rehashed again. So it's obviously a sign that there must be an election in the air, or at least we're coming close to one. So it'll play a prominent part. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
In any election. So
we probably have lots of stories on it in the North County Leader.
We'll be covering that, all right. Although I think the decision will be made in May. So it'll probably be, it'll be way before any election.
Okay, now, first story, the crunch time for Aer Lingus. This is something else that's been up and down over the years as well, about the sale and not sale of Aer Lingus. Where are we now, reading through the story?
Yeah, well, up to now, most of the news with Aer Lingus had been about the pension system that didn't work out at all. But this is different now. This is where there's a very, very serious bid to buy Aer Lingus from IAG, which is the International Airlines Group. And it's headed up by Donabate man Willie Walsh, who is the former CEO, or the former chairman, or the chief executive, rather, of British Airways, and also of Aer Lingus at one stage. So this is a very, very serious move to take over Aer Lingus, and IAG are the parent company of British Airways and also of Iberia in Spain. Now, they have made but two offers already, which were undervalued. So there's a third and probably going to be a final bid, which should be acceptable to the board of Aer Lingus. I think it's going to value they're about €2.70 per share, which should be acceptable to the board. Now, crucially, the government, which controls 25.1% of Aer Lingus, will probably be the deciding factor. They will be the ones to make the final decision on it, as well as Ryanair, which holds almost 30%. So it's all to play for them, but it looks like it's almost a done deal, and a lot of the expert opinion in the aviation industry will say that it's the move that Aer Lingus should go for, really, because, as they call it, they say that Aer Lingus will end up as a spinster, in their words, if it doesn't happen, and they will be isolated. However, the Chambers Ireland are opposed to any takeover that will endanger the Heathrow airport slots. And we spoke to them, and their CEO Ian Talbot said that this the only reason she'll go ahead and sell the shares if they can retain the slots at Heathrow, because, as they say, that they are crucial for economic tourism as well as tourism and the overall prosperity of the country. So that is a real, and making sure that there's connectivity between all the airports in Ireland and Heathrow. Okay. So at Heathrow, they're apparently priceless.
Would they not be part of the deal, though?
Well, that's what they're hoping. Okay. They're hoping that it will be part of the DC. It's not fully thrashed out, but the whole idea and the fear is that from Chambers Ireland is that that should be part of the deal. Now, if it's not part of the deal, you know, that could be make a change in their view. However, the thing that we're looking at is that Ryanair, who is a very, very strange to think that the Ryanair, who is probably the nemesis of Aer Lingus for so long, are set to benefit on both fronts, mm-hmm. because, you know, with the increased share, that the, you know, their, the valuation of their stake would be worth over 400 million euros in Aer Lingus, plus the fact that because of the slots in Air in Heathrow may well revert to Ryanair.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they could be winners on the double.
Yeah, in my memory, is this the first time that Ryanair have agreed with Sale?
They're not opposing it. They're not opposing they're unlikely to oppose it.
That's a force, though, isn't it, Patrick?
Well, it is a bit of a force. Well, you know, it's an economic decision. I mean, if they sell their stake in Aer Lingus and they get over 400 million euros for it, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's not too hard to go along and agree with it. You know, and plus the fact that they'll become the national carrier, if you like, in some ways, which seems a little bit strange, because Aer Lingus will then be subsumed into a British multinational IAG, and they will lose their national identity to some extent. However, Ryanair may well look at this and say, well, look, we're in the national carrier, we're fully Irish, etc. So now we're taking Aer Lingus's place in some ways. So it seems a little bit strange in that way, that when you think of their nemesis for so many years, could well now take over as the national carrier. Yeah. So there's a lot to be, you know, there's a lot to play for in that.
Yeah. There's a lot of connotations to it, because, I mean, the Chambers Ireland also point out the instance and the example of CityJet, is it? What's the example they gave there? Is that to do with the jobs?
Well, CityJet was an Irish company. However, it was sold to Air France, who sold it on in turn to a German aviation company. Now, what happened was, because of that change and downsizing, etc., there's 30 redundancies are being sought at the CityJet Dublin headquarters. So, what we're saying, using that as an example of things that can go wrong mm-hmm. with a company when they're subsumed into a larger company, because Aer Lingus would be a small. Pretty small fry in IAG's overall operation, because when you think of it, they own the British Airways.
Mm-hmm.
So all we're saying that we're also praising Aer Lingus as being a fantastic employer for North County Dublin for many, many years, and many, many families, thousands of families, have benefited from having a great job in Aer Lingus, where there was a great pension fund at one stage. They also had government backing if things went wrong. They mm-hmm. don't have this government backing now anymore. Yeah. That's not to say that IAG are not going to be a good employer. We're not trying to say that. Mm-hmm. But we're saying that there is that little stability is taken away, and that little safety net is going to be taken away. The fact that the government were always there to prop them up.
And you'd wonder I mean, with all the other, as I said, connotations in there, will they keep on the logo of Aer Lingus as well? You know, that's a national airline.
Yeah, that's,
you know, they might want
that's
to
something else. They may do. It's a brand in itself, and mm-hmm. you know, IAG may well decide to look at this as a brand name, and why not? You know, it's recognisable around the world. So why would we want to change that? So that's something that'll be up to them to decide on. You know.
Yeah, well, with aviation analysts, with Ryanair and all this, everybody seems to be going for it. So another state asset seems to be going.
I think that they would be in trouble anyhow, Aer Lingus. So I think it's probably, as the expert aviation experts say, that it would be a good move for Aer Lingus to go along and accept the deal.
Okay. Now, our second one is Senate fearful of property tax hike. It is another bone of contention at the moment, along with the water charges, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is not decided on. It's just a fear that Justin Sinnott, who's a local county councillor here in Fingal, he's a non-party representative, and he believes that there could be a nasty sting in the tail for property taxpayers in the North County should the developer levies be reduced. Now, this has come about from the Dublin Housing Supply Task Force. They looked at housing supply that was needed in the Fingal area over the next 10 years, and they reckon that amounts to 24,000 units at a cost of 80 million euros, simply because you can't build 24,000 units of housing without putting proper infrastructure in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the cost of that is. Now, the Construction 2020 plan to build these houses says that we need to cut developer levies. Now, the problem with... Now, that's true. Obviously, the idea that is to make it attractive to developers to come in and build these houses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the fear the Senate has is that somebody's got to pay for this, the 80 million. And the fear he has is that local authorities may well decide to pass this on to, or that the government should pass it on to the local residents in the form of property tax. And mm-hmm. that's the fear that he has on that, because somebody's got to pay for it. Now, he's also saying that as it stands, there's inadequate water, sewage and transport infrastructure in the area, as well as school places. And this has all got to be, that's as things stand. Now, you mm-hmm. imagine putting in 24,000 extra houses in the area.
Yes, sir.
So that's going to be an unbearable cross, you know, for people. So the extra costing with development levies being reduced will have to be found somewhere else. And his fear is that, as I say, that the government will hike that on to the property tax and the people will pay that.
Go back to the usual sources for any money they need as well. Would I be right in saying, to an extent as well, I mean, going back, we've talked about development over the years, and as I said, it's been a lot of talking over the past few weeks with discussions on the growth of the Fingal area and much housing is needed. But it didn't seem to bother it didn't seem to bother the developers before. And there's plenty of examples out here where there's been lots of building went on without any recreational infrastructure or schools and stuff like that anyway. So what's the difference now? Is it just people won't stand for it now? They won't buy unless there is all these things within the area?
Well, I think that is definitely part of it, because we saw an example there where it was only on a very, very small scale in Balrothery, outside Balbriggan, where there were going to be 10 social housing units put in place. Now, the residents there were up in arms over this, because they say that there's no playgrounds. There's nothing thrown back to the company, to the residents. It's just a matter of clogging up the place with houses without putting in proper roads, without proper the infrastructure, water, all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Playgrounds, schools. Where do the extra kids go? Now, that's only a very, very small scale. So you can imagine this spread out over 24,000 units, which is quite a significant amount of homes over the next 10 years. So what Sinnott is saying is that's got to be paid for somehow. And the fear he has is that we'll be paying it.
Yeah, and of course, as you mentioned there about the roads and all like that, unless they put in proper public transport and people have to use cars, the traffic becomes a major problem as well. That's part of it as well. So it's a lot in the equation, all right.
Yes, and as you say, in 2016, next year, that the valuation on properties is going to be looked at again. So mm-hmm. he feels that this could be an opportunity for the government to put their oar in there. So that's mm-hmm. the fear he has.
I think, though, without this sort of debate, anyway, I think a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people talking about the property tax, and they're sort of saying the way things are going in the market, that if the houses happen to go up like they were 8-10 years ago, the property tax will go up anyway if your house is valued on what it, you know, going prices and all like that. So
yes, it will.
That'll be part of it as well. Unless they hike it up even more on top of that as well, which would... It looks like people are on their knees now, but are going to be sort of lying flat down in a few years' time, the way things are.
There's no escape from it, is there?
No escape, no. No
no escape.
Okay, we're going back to the 1500s, I think. Okay, the last one, always a good news story comes in at the end. That's what I love about the North County Leader. And just remind our listeners, this is just a small sample of some of the stories in it. You get it free in your local shop. But this is the Fry Railway comes home to Malahide.
Yeah, it's the Fry Model Railway, which is it was located at Malahide Castle, but because of the... Now, it's a very famous and it's a place that a lot of tourists come and see, and it's actually well worth the visit. But it had been housed in Malahide Castle. However, because when the Avoca hand weavers moved into Malahide Castle. There was no more room for it there, so the council had to give it away, and it was eventually housed in Bussaris, which is utterly inappropriate place for it. However, there was a great drive by the people of Malahide, Tidy Towns, the county councillors, etc., to try and get it back to Malahide, where it belongs. Now, the history of it is that it was the whole thing now is that it's now going to be housed in the casino in Malahide. Now, a lot of people will be familiar with the casino. It was the place that when you came into Malahide on the bus, just before you came to the railway station, if you mm-hmm. looked left, there was a beautiful big thatched cottage.
Yes, I remember that. That's
big,
where
big house.
The famous story, yeah. Is that one of the cottages where the famous story of a donkey was killed many, many years ago, I remember.
Oh, I think there was something. There was something about that, yeah. I think I remember something like that, right? But this casino was a landmark building, and mm-hmm. everybody knew it, and it was a very identifiable with being a Malahide home. It was owned by Micheál Gaffney, who was a local man, a wealthy man, and a very, very kind man, who donated €1.5 million in his will so that it was so that the Fry Model Railway could be brought back to Malahide, and it was also to renovate the casino to provide the home for the railway in Malahide. So this is all coming. Now, the whole proviso was that the $1.5 million would not be given unless the Fry Model Railway was returned to the casino. So it seems now that this is all going to happen, and we were speaking to Jerry Rafferty, who is the chairperson of the local Tidy Towns group, and mm-hmm. he's absolutely delighted, and he said that he's looking forward to assisting and realising the enormous potential that this project has to offer should it happen. Now, it looks like it is going to happen, and it's going to be a great boost. Now, it'll be a fantastic tourist thing for Malahide. There's no question about this. This is a unique project altogether, so it's good news all around. And the local councillor, Anthony Lavin, who's from Fine Gael, also welcomed the news. Now, Anthony Lavin is part of the Tidy Towns group as well, and he said that the timeline for the project is going to take some time to complete, he said, but they're very, very happy that the wheels are now in motion, and it looks like it's going to happen.
Can I ask you about Michael Gaffney himself, in my ignorance? Like, what connection has he got to the Fry Model Railway? Is he just an admirer of it, or had he...
He's an admirer of it, but he was also the owner of the casino. So he wants the... He left the money to renovate the casino, because it had gone into...
Yeah, I get that.
So that it could be the home for the Model Railway. So,
yes, purely because he was an admirer, though, of the railway, is that
it?
It's amazing, absolutely amazing.
But it's a fantastic piece of generosity, and mm-hmm. It's been recognised by everybody in Malahide.
And when do you think this will be available to the public?
Well, it'll take, as Anthony Lavin says, the whole thing is going to take some time to complete, so there's no date on it yet. So hopefully, maybe the... within a year, maybe.
And any idea where the model railway is at the moment?
I don't know. I know it had been in Bussaris.
Okay.
So now it's probably in storage somewhere. I'm not quite
sure.
It's
been kept safe anywhere.
But I'll find that out for you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been kept safe somewhere. It's just for
in case.
In case someone starts ringing up and saying, where can we go now to see it? So there's nowhere at the moment.
I don't think it's on display yet.
Okay. So that's a great story to finish your part.
It is a great story. It's a great story for Malahide. And, you know, it's just something that it was a big deal when it was taken away when Avoca hand weavers are located to Malahide Castle.
I'm sure any admirers of the railway must have been, as you said yourself, when it was an unsuitable location like Bussaris, and they must have been wringing their hands hoping that something would happen to get it out of there.
Okay,
as I said, that's just a few samples of the stories in North County. There's lots more, lots of entertainment, crosswords, everything that you could want in your local paper, and you can get it free in your shops nearby. Listen, Patrick, welcome back, and I'll be talking to you again next week here on Northside.
Look forward to it, Noel.
Thanks, Patrick.
Take care, Noel.
Bye. And that's Patrick Finnegan with those stories from the North County Leader. And as I said, get a lot in your local shop. I just forgot, Patrick, you're still there?
I am indeed.
Okay, now if people have any stories that they want to get into, especially if they're good news stories, we like good news stories here on Near FM. There's very few of them in any other media. So what should they do?
Well, they can contact us here by phone, which is 01-840-0200, or get onto us on the news desk here. It's news at northcountyleader.ie. You'll also get all the updated stories on our website, which is www.northcountyleader.ie.
Okay, thanks again, Patrick.